Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
We have the Baldwin County Commission, or maybe the EMA, someone with the county, the fourth Thursday of each month, and we're glad to welcome you back because there's new roundabouts and other things happening that we want to hear about. I'm thinking on the top of most people's mind is the announcement that today, 32 and 13 closed for the beginning of a roundabout construction.
Yeah, that is correct.
Tell us about that.
So, obviously, in a growing county, we're trying to stay on top of the traffic needs. Roundabouts have been shown, the ones that we've put in have been shown to really help the congestion at some of these intersections. But more than that, it's really helped knock down a lot of the accident rates.
Oh, good.
So, at a normal intersection, there's a lot more conflict points with everybody entering the intersection and turning and, mm-hmm. and the turning movements. With a roundabout, you only have 4 conflict points. So a normal intersection may have like 20 to 30 conflict points, where a roundabout only has 4.
Never thought of it that way, really. How many different angles could you hit somebody?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So, the accident rates will go down. It works more efficiently in a growing county. That's exactly what we need. They are a little bit of a pain to put up with through construction. Okay, and I will admit that because we've tried it both ways. We've tried working with them building them under traffic and building them with just completely shutting the traffic down and utilizing the detour routes. It works a lot better utilizing the detour route to try to do it. Maintaining traffic through the intersection extends the time out with the contractor a lot longer than normal. It puts everybody on site at risk from getting hit from vehicles, so it's not safe for our workers. Mm-hmm. It runs the cost up because obviously time is money. You have to maintain detour routes on site. So the cost goes up, and we're battling cost right now from a construction standpoint.
I bet.
You always hear about the lumber prices last year and how they skyrocketed and doubled and tripled, and then they came back down. Now they're going back up. Well, what was happening with that is now happening in the construction world. The price of concrete has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Sand and gravel is skyrocketing now, just like lumber did last year. Getting concrete pipe delivered to the site is an issue. Just being able to go over to the bayway and right there at Cochran Bridge is where we pick up our rock and our gravel and stuff. Just being able to get it has been an issue for my maintenance guys from the highway department. So we're battling all that. We let a resurfacing job out last week, and the budget came back in way over what we budgeted. The price came back in way over what we budgeted. So we're chasing the prices right now. I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm chasing these prices and I ain't running fast enough to catch
right.
them. I think I need to drop a few pounds so I can run a little faster. So
the burning question is, and I'm sure you've seen it on social media as well, when the announcement came out that 32 and 13 would be closed from today through October 31st, everybody's going, whoa, wow, why so long to construct the roundabout?
Yeah, so from an outsider looking in, it probably does seem like a long time. But from
parents driving their kids to school, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've been communicating with the principal, Miss Wolf. I've had conversations with Mayor Sullivan. I've had conversations with our sheriff department, the Fairhope Police Department, and the school board, and we're all on the same page about what needs to happen with the school traffic. I've actually contacted ALDOT as well. They're in charge of the signal there at 32 and 181 to make sure that they're staying on top of the changing traffic patterns to adjust the signal timing there to kind of help the congestion there. So there's going to be some things that we're going to do because of this traffic
Very
pattern
good.
Change
Very good.
To kind of help alleviate some of the issues.
But why 8 months?
Why 8 months? Well, so technically, the contract is about 120 working days, okay? Now, what that means to the general public is I give that contractor 120 days to complete the what he has bid on. That working days is Monday through Friday if it ain't raining, if it's not a holiday, if it's
right,
you know, so if it's so anytime it rains, anytime there's a holiday, anytime he can't work, anything like that, it doesn't count against the 120 days. Typically that 120 days is extended. If you look at it from a calendar day standpoint, you can usually kind of double it. Okay, so when we doubled it and we pushed it out, October was kind of our worst case scenario. What we don't want to do is we don't want to put a date out there and then we not meet that date and then have to extend that date and it mess everybody's plans up again.
Mm-hmm.
So when we put that date out there, that's kind of a worst case scenario. We're probably going to be a little earlier than that, but we didn't want to put that date out there and then not be able to meet it, if that
got
makes
it,
sense.
Got it. So we'll be pleasantly surprised when and if it's earlier.
I hope so, if we can just weather this front end storm.
And I bet that's got to be a big issue here, construction with all of our rain.
It is, especially through the spring and summer. We start into those, you know, afternoon summer thunder showers almost mm-hmm. every day sometimes, and you know, when it comes to July, August, and September. So we get rain almost every day, and it does really hurt productivity if you're a contractor.
Is this contractor then dedicated to those 5 days a week on this job and not going to be juggling another contract somewhere else while this is happening?
Yeah, he's going to be staying on that job.
Oh, good.
The contractor's John G. Walton.
Uh-huh.
It's a large contractor out of Mobile. He's obviously got more than one crew. He's got more than one job going on
right.
at a time, but he's got a crew that's going to be designated to that roundabout
okay.
project.
What's the price tag on that?
Ooh, I don't have that right off the top of my head.
Ballpark.
I think it came in around. I think it was around 1.2 to 1.4 somewhere.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay. Go ahead if you need to finish that thought.
That one actually came in right before all the price hike started to happen.
So it's going to have probably some amendments to it then, because by the time
he's locked in.
The stuff.
He's locked in.
Uh-oh.
He's locked in. So yeah, we technically kind of it was good timing on our part for that, because if we were bidding it out today, that we would not get the same price.
I see. I see on the Fairhope City Council meeting agenda, which is tonight, by the way, because we have a parade Monday night, so Fairhope City Council's meeting tonight. There's something on there about an agreement with Baldwin County for a roundabout on Twin Beach at 13.
That's correct. We the Baldwin County Commission was successful in getting a what we call an HSIP grant, which is a high risk grant. It's a high risk safety improvement program is what it's called.
Okay.
And submitted the grant to ALDOT, was able to get a grant for about $2 million to build a roundabout at that intersection. So that intersection's that grant's been approved, design's on its way. The right-of-way acquisition phase has started. We're already starting to buy right-of-way on that. So once we get all the right-of-way acquired, the next phase will be coordinating with the City of Fairhope and other utility companies to get their utilities moved. We'll let that one out and start construction on it.
In my mind, isn't that where the chickens run around and the Boy Scouts?
That's correct.
That's the Twin Beach 13? Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
So each location is different. Each location we put these roundabouts is uniquely different due to the geographical area, the utilities in the area, the drainage that comes through that intersection. Drainage is probably takes the most time to construct. So the one at 13 and 32 has a large box culvert just to the east of that intersection, so we've got to contend with that drainage structure.
Okay, yeah.
And so we've got to contend with that.
Mm-hmm.
Fairhope actually owns the northwest corner, and so that instead of having to acquire a lot of right of way from private individuals, Fairhope worked with us very well to move that roundabout and that right of way acquisition to that northwest corner. And we didn't have to impact the other private landowners as much.
Okay.
So that one So when you do that, it kind of puts the curves in the road as you approach the roundabout. We call them chicanes, is the engineering term. So it kind of slows you down a little bit and gets you lined up in order to enter the roundabout. And the, the better angle you enter that roundabout at, the more efficiently they work. And so, you know, that one's going to be kind of pushed to the northeast. The northwest a little bit. The one at, Gayfer in 13, it was dead in the middle.
Right. It was dead. Seems to be.
It was dead in the middle. So the one at 64 and 13, it was offset as well. So you got those little chicanes that come in and kind of help you. Help you, you know, the roundabout work more
interesting.
Efficiently.
Interesting. A lot goes into that.
Yeah, there is.
Okay. We're speaking with Baldwin County Engineer Joey Nunnally here on WABF. It is 836 and 68 degrees. We've spent a lot of time just on these two little roundabouts, so let's get to other projects and other things that you want us to know.
Okay. So right off the top of my head, just kind of wanted to say that the commission and a Representative Faust both helped us get help the county get a grant for about $4 million to do some retention on the Magnolia River. We're going to be converting a few dirt pits down there to a large retention area. So that project is going to be on the way. We're trying to get the grant finalized, and then we'll start the design, and we'll start right away acquisition over the next year or so.
I'm having trouble visualizing that.
So these dirt pits have been there for a long time.
Okay.
They're located right next to the Magnolia River.
Who owns them?
There's about four or five different owners. There's about four or five different dirt pits, and they're all different owners, and they're all just about played out, meaning all the dirt's gotten out of it and built roads, subdivisions, whatever out of it. And what we're going to do is be able to shape those dirt pits and connect them all and shape them in the form of a large retention area, to where when that Magnolia River starts to rise with floodwaters, it will spill over into this large retention area, and it'll act like a large retention pond, and hopefully decrease the damages downstream.
Okay. And by damages downstream, you mean flooding of homes and neighborhoods?
It could very well help keep water out of homes. It could help the velocity, so stream bank erosions could be helped. It could help settle out siltation that's okay. in the water. It's a good project. The Governor Ivey is in charge of a large part of money called Go Mesa money.
Right,
and she. Awarded us about a $4 million grant for design and right-of-way acquisition for that. And Representative Faust and our county commission was very instrumental in getting that.
All right.
So another priority, I would say, for the Baldwin County Commission is connectivity and capacity projects, because obviously we're fast-growing, so we want to try to focus on connectivity and capacity projects. So we're working on widening County Road 64 from 181 East all the way to the Fish River Bridge there, which goes just past the new school that was built. We're working on extending County Road 20 further to the west down in Foley. We're working on extending Pleasant Road. Pleasant Road's going to be up in the Bell Forest area just north of 64. We're going to try to connect Pleasant Road across 181 over to a little road called Larry Street. The Cordy Road Extension Project is another one that's high on their priority list. We're working with the City of Daphne in partnership with them to extend Cordy Road across 13 all the way over to Friendship Road.
Okay.
And then we are also working on some additional improvements to County Road 65 in the Foley-Summerdale area to try to relieve some of that traffic congestion off of 59 and make it another north-south route. So those are some of the bigger projects we're working on from a capacity connectivity standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've already talked about the 1344 roundabout that we're working on. We've got a lot of drainage projects that are fixing to be hitting over the next few months. These drainage projects are related to Hurricane Sally, actually. Well, all the damage that Hurricane Sally did from all the rain damaged a lot of our box culverts. And so FEMA's a funding agency that we've tapped into from a grant standpoint to help get those repairs done. It's been a very slow, monotonous process working through the federal red tape.
Mm-hmm.
But we're finally getting to the point where we're fixing to start letting some of those out.
Yeah, the government red tape is slow, but it's nice to have. About how much FEMA money is the county has received or is receiving for those projects?
For the box culverts? I think it's probably going to be probably around $3 to $4 million for worth of box culverts.
Okay.
Total with Hurricane Sally, with debris pickup and everything, the county expended over $80 million.
Wow.
And it has been
the debris alone was probably half of that.
It was a big portion of it. Yeah. The biggest portion of it. Yes. So, you know, we're working through the process of trying to get that money back from FEMA, and that has making me lose more of my hair. So,
that's funny. Well, this has been so informative. Is there anything else on your list that you want to mention? And I don't think I can think of anything else. The two biggies, I think, were the roundabout.
The only other thing I would like to mention is the large boat launch that we're building down at on the Intercoastal Waterway Canal. We call it the Launch. That's the official name. It's called the Launch. It's a large, very nice boat launch that'll be opening up in March. So we're getting, you know, we're approaching that quickly. It's on schedule to open up in March.
It seems fast. I remember reading about it. Mm-hmm. We're talking about lots and lots of. Do you have any figures without me putting you on the spot? How many slips and parking spaces and what the facilities are?
So currently we've got 6 boat launch slips. I think I'm going off memory. I think it's about 150, boat and trailer parking spots. There's some sidewalks and walking trails and some gazebos and some sitting areas and some picnic areas. And, there'll be some men and women bathrooms. I think we've got four women's and four men's
bathrooms. Sounds nice. Where is this again?
And we have a grand pavilion down there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are on the Beach Express, the Foley Beach Express, and you're going towards the toll bridge, as you're going over the toll bridge, it's going to be on the right side of that toll bridge.
Okay.
So it's just off of County Road 4, basically.
Okay. I saw a headline in the paper about widening the Beach Express. Is that something that a city is doing or is the county's doing?
Yeah, that is something the city of Foley is
doing. I see. Okay.
Yeah, so we have the Baldwin Beach Express and the Foley Beach Express, and the maintenance of that road is divided between us and the city.
And I think sometimes that's a confusing factor. Say people were fussing about this road closure that started this morning at 32 and 13 for the roundabout construction, and some folks are fussing at the city when this is a county and state project that the city signs off on because of the utilities. But
that's right.
Right.
That's right. So right now, the roundabout is a county project that we've partnered with the city for them to be able to maintain it once it's built. And this one is a completely county funded project.
Right.
So the county commission's actually funded this. So the one at 44 is funds that are funneled down through ALDOT. So we've got to get ALDOT approval on everything we do on that. So
different pots of money for different projects.
All different pots of money, different projects, different strings to every pot of money.
You go. Wow, you've got a lot to keep up with. How many people are in the engineering department with the county?
In the engineering department, we've probably got about, including our my maintenance guys, I think there's about 170. So we've got our this is a very large county, geographically. So we've got a maintenance barn in the north, and we got one in the middle, and we got one in the south, and then we've got an engineering building in Robertsdale as well. So,
okay, all right. Thank you so much. Anything else you want to mention that we have not thought to cover yet?
Yes. So yesterday I spent the day in Montgomery on up in the house, there's a couple of bills that are out there that are kind of that I want to make sure everybody's aware of. One is House Bill 368 and one is Senate Bill 157. Both of these bills are trying to allow log trucks to haul additional weight. Some people may not know, but when you're a trucker, you're only allowed to haul so much weight on a road. If you haul over that, it obviously it's going to do damage to the road. It could do damage to the bridges, and it's not safe, and it could put other people in harm's way. And this bill, if passed, would allow just logging trucks, not anybody else, not freightliners or anything like that, just log trucks, to allow an additional to haul an additional 10% on each one of the loads. And it would do a it would do a lot of damage to our roads, especially our county roads where a lot of these log trucks hit, do a lot of damage to our bridge structures that we're having a hard time maintaining now. I mean, currently I've got posted bridges all over this county that I'm trying to get replaced, and now they're trying to
put more
this.
Weight.
So
how much is about 10% of a log truck's weight? What is that?
So a legal load is about 80,000 pounds.
Okay.
They are allowed a 10% tolerance over that currently right now in the law, which puts it up to 88,000 pounds. So they're wanting to go 10% above that.
I see.
Which would put it right at 100,000 pounds.
Okay.
And it's just to go that far with so the damage is not linear. Okay. And what I mean with that is just if you received damage to a road at 80,000 pounds, well, from an engineering standpoint, that 10% increase would be like instead of a truck traveling over this spot in the road 100 times, if you do the 10% increase, it would be like that truck going across that same spot 187 times. So the 10% increase has a dramatic increase on the damage that's delivered to the pavement and the bridges.
So you're trying to get these bills to not pass.
That's correct.
Okay.
So I would just encourage those that are concerned to reach out to your House and Senate members and tell them to vote no on House Bill 368 and Senate Bill 157.
Okay. All right, I've made a note. Thank you so much. How enlightening.
The County Commission has done resolutions opposing those bills.
That has to hold some weight.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Very enlightening.
Okay.
Baldwin County Engineer Joey Nunnally. This has been just very informative. If you missed part of it, especially when we're talking about the roundabout at 32 and 13, then you can listen to it later at WABF1480.com.